Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, March 5th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a local doctor after the emergency department at one of Kent's busiest hospitals was downgraded by inspectors who found overcrowding and long waits in corridors. We'll also hear from the Gillingham boss following another disappointing defeat in League 2. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Two men have been found guilty of kidnapping a woman from a bar in Ramsgate with the intention of committing a sexual offence. Lucy has been following this story for the podcast. She's got some more details for us. Lucy, this is just an awful story. What can you tell us about it?
Well, this goes back to a night out in the summer of 2022. The victim had been drinking with a friend at Click in Ramsgate, but over the course of the night, they'd become separated. The court heard the woman, who can't be named for legal reasons, had been sick in the bar and appeared out of it. A doorman went to get her a glass of water to help sober her up, but when he came back, she was being propped up by the defendants. She was being walked in the opposite direction of a nearby taxi rank and in the opposite direction of where she needed to go.
And it's at this point the victim said the men tried to sexually assault her, is that right?
That's right. She described to the court how she was shoved and dragged to a nearby property on Kent Terrace. She said she was against a wall in the dark where the accused started undoing her trousers, but she managed to push them away and ran out into the street. She hid behind a car and dialed 999. On a recording of the call, you can hear her pleading with operators, saying, "Please save me. They dragged me here. Please, as quick as you can."
Now, the men denied these accusations, but they have been found guilty.
Yes, Gatis Dukovskis and Marek Brokim told police they tried to help the woman because she was so drunk, but they left her alone when she made it clear she didn't want them to help. The court also heard the pair had spoken with the woman and her friend outside the club earlier in the evening. The jury found 37-year-old Dukovskis, who lives in St Mildred's Road in Ramsgate, and Brokim, who's 46 and lives in Bramley Close in Ash near Canterbury, guilty of both kidnap and kidnap with intent to commit a sexual offence. They've been remanded in custody and will be sentenced on April 4th.
Kent Online News.
A woman accused of murdering her husband and dumping his body in her garden in Canterbury has told a jury she thought he'd taken his own life. Maureen Rickards denies killing 65-year-old Jeremy and telling a court he was a gentleman, ally and confidant. The 50-year-old from St Martin's Road denies murder and the trial continues. A Tunbridge man who died after being crushed by a car he was working on has been described as loving and caring. Daniel Hunt had gone to his yard in West Morling and was killed when the vehicle slipped off a jack. A memorial for the 20-year-old banger racing enthusiast will take place in June. A tub of cocaine has been seized from a hotel in Gillingham. Police were called to search a guest room at the building on Will Adams Way. A 37-year-old's been charged and is due in court. Now, the MP for Tunbridge Wells is calling on Sir Keir Starmer to lead Europe into becoming a military power instead of building bridges with Donald Trump. Mike Martin, who's part of the Defence Committee in Parliament, says the US doesn't have the same interest in defending Ukraine in the war against Russia. He's been speaking with Lucy.
The Brits view European security as British security, and we view Ukrainian security as British security because we all live on the same continent. But that's not how the Americans see it. The current American leadership sees Ukraine as a transaction, and they don't want to carry on paying for the war, so they're just pulling out. And in any case, in that transaction, they favour Russia over Ukraine. And these two worldviews, if you like, or sets of interests, are completely different. And at the moment, the Prime Minister is attempting to bridge between these two, but I think that's basically impossible.
What do you make of how Sir Keir Starmer's sort of been navigating all of this politically? He's been in Washington, he's met with Donald Trump. I mean, is he kind of playing this the right way, do you think?
Sure. I mean, he's doing what I would be trying to do if I were Prime Minister, right? It's very important that the UK-US relationship, which is a strong one, is you know, supported, and we want that to continue as much as possible. But I think there's two things. I think one is, whilst we want that core relationship between the US and UK to endure, and that's largely based around nuclear technology, intelligence, communications, satellites, those core security interests, that's quite a different thing to what collective defence looks like in Europe. And that's this idea that we have in NATO that if one of us is attacked, we're all attacked and we'll all defend each other. And I think the Americans are pulling out of that latter thing. I think they're staying in the UK, US, that close relationship, sometimes called the special relationship. But I think they are extracting themselves from collective European defence. And I think that we need to separate the two in the UK. And this is the bit that the Prime Minister hasn't done. So whilst I think he's doing the right thing in terms of trying to maintain that close relationship with the US, this idea of bridging between the Europeans and the US, I think that's gone for the reasons I set out. I think they just have, we have completely different interests and worldviews under the current US administration. And therefore, I think we should be working with our European allies, so particularly the frontline states with Russia, Poland, including Ukraine, the Baltic states, Nordics, and the three big powers, Germany, France, and the UK, to look at what collective defence looks like in Europe, but without the Americans.
Do you think Europe's maybe been a little bit too reliant on the US in terms of this sort of thing in recent years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's appalling what European militaries have done to themselves over the last 30 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall. And if I just speak about the UK, some key capabilities that we always used to have that, you know, for example, the ability to deploy an armoured division to Europe, the ability to police the bit of sea in between Greenland and Scotland, which is obviously how the Russians get down from the Arctic into the North Atlantic. All of these key things, we've actually not able to do them anymore. And that's a huge problem. And that's because we've salami sliced our defence budget over the last 30 years, really. And that's unforgivable. So that is the one thing that we agree with President Trump on. Europe needs to pay more and do more for its own defence. And, you know, hopefully this crisis will be an impetus across Europe to start thinking much more seriously about defence.
Kent Online News.
A man in his 30s has died following a crash involving a car and a motorbike on the A257 near Wingham. The Yamaha he was riding collided with a grey Lexus yesterday morning, closing the road for more than 7 hours. Investigators are keen to hear from anyone with dash cam footage from the scene. The emergency department of one of Kent's busiest hospitals has been downgraded by inspectors who found overcrowding and long waits in corridors. But it's taken the Care Quality Commission a year to publish their report on Medway Maritime in Gillingham, which has gone from good to required. Requires improvement. They blamed a technical glitch for the delay following the inspection in February last year. Hospital bosses say significant improvements have been made in the last 12 months. Here's Dr. Julian Spinks.
This is the basis of a report of an inspection that was carried out over a year ago and has been delayed in the system. So we have to say that we don't know whether actually now it is better or worse. But yeah, it reflects perhaps some of the challenges that are happening in A&E. When they inspect, there are four grades, two passing grades, which are good or outstanding, and two failing grades, which are requires improvement or inadequate. Requires improvement normally means that some things need to change to come up to an appropriate standard, but it's not so dire that they're going to put the hospital into special measures. And in this case, it failed a lot on things that we know are happening up and down the country, such as overcrowding, people being left in corridors. And in this particular case, there were things like people who weren't toileted, so they were lying in their own excrement. They weren't being given adequate treatment and being left in corridors and not having anything done. And also that there was a case where they showed a member of the medical staff crying on the phone, asking for help. So all of that is very difficult. The individual grades, there's a lot of overlap between them. And you can argue someone stuck in the corridor not being toileted fits most of those things, including whether it's well run. And so it is a major problem. But I hear from Medway Maritime that they're taking steps. They put on another ward. They're getting better throughput. And their actual sort of quality ratings from patients have improved over the last 12 months.
8 years after plans for a tech and media development in Medway were first unveiled, the Kent Online podcast has learned it's been scaled back. Innovation Park near Rochester Airport was supposed to attract the likes of Netflix and Google and provide up to 3,000 jobs. Work was paused by the new Labor administration at the council last February, and it's now suggesting major changes. Part of the site could become a care home instead. Hundreds of trees are being planted in Maidstone in memory of those from the town who died from COVID. 633 oak, birch, hawthorn and field maple will be placed in circles in Allington Open Space where people can visit and remember. It comes ahead of the fifth anniversary of the first lockdown. Maidstone council leader is Stuart Jeffrey.
It's quite a poignant time, and And we've got a local park. We're going to be putting them in over the next couple of days, and doing other sort of and other stuff as well through the rest of this week.
Why did you think tree planting would be significant? I mean, obviously those trees will be there for a very long time, so I guess it serves as a lasting reminder, doesn't it? Really, as to what happened.
Putting a tree in, you're creating new life, and it's something that, as you say, is lasting and is there for generations to come. You know, those trees will last 100-200 years, and they will seed, and we'll have a plantation there forever.
And will they be specifically in a place where people can go and spend some time and remember? Is that part of the aim of it as well?
Yeah, so in a place called the Allington Open Space, which is a park down by near the lock. It's very accessible. It's a nice flat area. People can walk around. We're planting them in 15 circles, so you'll be able to walk around, and there'll be some structure there as well. And it's a quiet park, but it's very relaxing and peaceful.
It shows the scale of this tragedy, though, doesn't it, when you lay it out like that?
Absolutely. I can't quite remember the total figures from across the UK, but globally it was tens of millions of people died. And that really did hurt just about everybody. I personally lost two very good colleagues and friends. And, you know, these things really still burn in our hearts.
Absolutely. It's a national day to remember at the weekend. What else is going to be going on? I know there are services taking place across the county, but what's happening in Maidstone in particular?
So in Maidstone on Thursday night, we are giving the Freedom of the Borough, which is one of the two honours that we can give as a council, to all the key workers, or critical workers as they were technically known, from the private sector, from the public sector and from the voluntary sector. So basically people that put their lives at risk to help others and to save lives are going to be honoured by us on Thursday evening.
A national Memorial Day will take place on Sunday.
Kent Online News.
There are growing calls for plans for a 2,000 home estate in Canterbury to be scrapped. It's proposed for the land owned by the cash-strapped University of Kent, who are now trying to find a developer to take on the project in a deal worth millions of pounds. Campaigners say the uni risks destroying communities and the countryside for financial gain. The uni says the land is surplus to requirements. A dog owner has been fined after failing to get her Akita microchipped. The pet was seized by council officers after being found wandering in the Folkestone Road area in June last year. It was sent to kennels before a 29-year-old came forward to claim it. She's been told to pay almost £900 in fines and costs after being taken to court. Residents are warning the three-month closure of one of the county's busiest crossroads is going to cause chaos in villages and rural communities. There are fears the closure of the intersection at Hawkhurst, where two A roads meet, will send an endless stream of lorries through Goudhurst and other nearby communities. It's to install a new sensor-based traffic light system with puffing crossing designed to manage congestion. Claire Eskem is on Hawkhurst Parish Council.
We don't yet know how the buses are going to get through. It's exam time, so parents are really worried about getting their children to school, and it's just the chaos that it will cause.
Councillor Bev Palmer's a Conservative on Tunbridge Wells Council.
We've got a lot of narrow lanes with potholes, etc. And I think there's going to be an awful lot of, you know, traffic that will run through those, and it's going to create havoc.
Councillor Sean Holden is from Kent County Council.
We're now having 16,000 roadwork closures every year in Kent. 5 years ago, we had a meeting with developers, or in fact the gas company here, and we had an 11-week project moved in time and changed to a 5-week project, which made a huge difference to the community.
Kent Online News.
We're a step closer to seeing Margate's Winter Gardens brought back to life and welcoming audiences. Bosses in Thanet have named their preferred partner to refurbish and reopen the 2,000-capacity venue. Westwood One Theatre have also done work on the Granville in Ramsgate. Cabinet will vote on it later this month. An iconic building in Canterbury City Centre will be auctioned off later this month. The Oddfellows Hall in Orange Street has played host to a string of businesses and entertainment venues over the last 150 years. It's being sold with a guide price of £450,000. £1,000. Work has started on a new water play area at the Strand in Gillingham. It'll be aimed at 3 to 11-year-olds and will have 30 sensor-activated water jets. The splash pad is due to open in May and replacing the existing paddling pool. And congratulations to a Gravesend couple who are celebrating their platinum wedding anniversary. Victor and Edna Gower have been married for 70 years after meeting at a dance hall in southeast London. They tie the knot on March 5th, 1955 and moved to North Kent. The 90 and 93-year-olds are set to receive a congratulations card from the King.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and the Gillingham Boss has taken some of the responsibility after they suffered another defeat last night. They were beaten 3-1 on the road at Newport County. The visitors had conceded all of the goals in the first half hour. Here's John Coleman.
Firstly, I'd like to apologise to the Sutherland fans for the result, really. Naivety defending from us in the first half. I could see after 3 minutes it was too wide open. We were too wide open, they were too wide open. It was like a basketball game from the first 3 minutes. Normally you come away from home, you get a foothold in the game. It's been our strength all season. We've defended solidly. Since them three have got together as a back three with Hutz and Max, we've looked really solid. Today we didn't. I'm trying to get the information on to tighten up. Maybe I've gone too gung-ho on my approach to the game, full stop. So I have to take responsibility for that. And trying to get the information on to tighten up. You know, we're trying to go in an attacking formation. And ultimately, one man's made a difference in it, and you know, the Bobby Cameron for them. He had his big moments and the results are in goals. Joe Bodie had some really big moments for us, and he didn't, but one resulted in a goal, I suppose. And that's been the difference tonight in the game. We defended a bit better second half. The game became stop-start because that's what they wanted it to be, with being 3-0 up, and it was allowed to be stop-start. Probably 4 or 5 players going down injured, and that was frustrating because you're trying to get ahead of steam, particularly when we got one back. We couldn't really get going because every time from the minute we scored, it was free kick after foul after injury. You couldn't get any kind of rhythm, and I'm not using that as an excuse. You know what, I'll get castigated tomorrow for not making subs, and I just didn't think it was the time to put players on when the pitch was very, very firm. I think it would have took anybody who comes on, it would have took them 10 minutes to get used to the pitch, and that's not an excuse at all, but that was the reason why I didn't make a sub, and I thought that we were pushing them back, and we just needed a bounce of the ball in the box that didn't materialise.
Captain Armani Little also spoke to us after the final whistle.
Obviously the goals from our side's not good enough. I think last 5 or 6 games, even longer, we've been quite good defensively, and we haven't let goals like that happen. I think today it was just a 25 minutes of madness, really. They took their chances, even though we have created a few chances ourselves and played some good football at times, but we've gone in on the back of 3-0 at half-time, and yeah, we could have been a lot better.
You must have gone into half-time thinking, there'll be 3 down, because actually we played some nice football at that time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do think we played some nice football, playing through the thirds and found the forwards' feet quite a bit, and we just needed one of them chances going ourselves. Probably the scoreline doesn't reflect, I know it's hard to say when you go in at 3-0, but it probably doesn't reflect how it could have been, but we have to get on with it.
And you did second half, pulled one back, never had a great chance, didn't he? It was just flashed wide of the goal to make it 3-2, so you give it a right good go, but I guess most of the damage was done.
Yeah, like you say, you're going at 3-0 half time, you've got nothing to lose, you need to go out there and you need to get the next goal, win the next half. We got that goal, and then never had that chance. It could have gone 3-2 and we would have been right back in it with 10 minutes ago, but it was unlucky from Nev, and it's unfortunate.
Back at Priestfield on Saturday, I guess, let's try and get back to the performance that we had against Morecambe, just get straight back on the saddle.
Yeah, of course, everyone loves playing at home now, but they have all season, to be fair. The support's been really good. So I think now we have to bounce back on Saturday and just bring that mentality and that attitude that we had against Morecambe last Saturday, and so we can try to get 3 points.
And in tennis, Emma Raducanu's admitted she could barely breathe or see through the tears after spotting a stalker at the Dubai Tennis Championship last month. The 22-year-old from Orpington hid behind the umpire's chair while security removed the man from the crowds. She's been given more security at upcoming tour events. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, or one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.